I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Anthony High, and I'm here with our Bible teacher, Brother J. Mark Horst, to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. Before we get into today's teaching, let me tell you a little bit about Heralds of Hope, the organization that produces the Voice of Hope. We are an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. We currently broadcast in English and in 25 other languages. Not long ago, we received this testimony from a young man in Albania. Recently, I was asked by an older pastor to become the new pastor of the church. To be honest, I felt very inadequate for the task, but felt in my heart that God wanted to use me. One thing that has helped me in this process was listening to Heralds of Hope on Radio 7. Every weekend, these messages are helping me grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. This program that I have been hearing now for years has been so impactful on my life and ministry. I can say now that I have the training that I need to speak God's Word in every situation. I pray and hope that this teaching will edify not just me, but all those who listen to your station. And that's the end of his letter. God's Word is certainly powerful in every situation. We all have times that we long for God to speak and calm the wind and waves. This week we're studying a time when the tempest was fiercely raging, but the Word of God brought calm.
Fierce raged the tempest o'er the deep. Watch did thine anxious servants keep. But thou wast wrapped in guileless sleep.
There are probably only a few ships in the world that are more famous than the Titanic. She began her maiden voyage on April 10, 1912, from Southampton, England, and she sailed for New York City. On April 14th, the Titanic struck an iceberg, and in a few short hours, she broke apart and went to the bottom. More than 1,500 people lost their lives in the icy waters of the North Atlantic. On the Sunday, after the Titanic sank, the city of Belfast, Ireland was in shock. That's because the Titanic was built there and it was built by one of the premier shipbuilding firms in that city. It was considered virtually unsinkable, and so, as you might imagine, the people of the town were devastated. Men met each other on the city streets. They grasped each other by the hand, burst into tears, and then walked away without saying a word. One particular church congregation lost 16 of its male members to the icy waters. All of them were mechanics on the Titanic. And on that dark Sunday, the pastor in that congregation read Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 to 41. And so as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, we come to this text. It's the dramatic account of Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of a horrendous storm. The title of this study is a question. Is Jesus in your boat? I hope you can stay with me for my teaching. Listen now as I read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" As we look at the interaction of Jesus and the disciples in this text, we'll see that the only unsinkable vessel in history was that little boat that was occupied by the sleeping Savior. How you answer the question, "Is Jesus in your boat?" will have far-reaching and eternal consequences for you and for others. So let's first consider the humanity of Jesus. As I read and meditated on this text, I was impressed by how few words are actually spoken. There are several short commands and questions, but they're loaded with so much meaning. Jesus makes the first statement. He says, "Let's cross over to the other side." It's the evening of what had been a hectic day. Some of the events included in that day were the blasphemous accusation by the Pharisees and the visit of his family to rescue him from the crowds, as you might remember. And then leaving the crowded house for the sea, teaching parables from a boat, more parables in the house, and then back to the sea again. And now they're preparing to cross the sea. I see here evidence of the humanity of Jesus. He's physically tired, and it's time to find some relief from the pressing demands of those constant crowds. He had been so busy, there hadn't been time to eat, according to Mark chapter 3 and verse 20. Think of the emotional drain that constant ministry put on Jesus, because the needs were endless. They were on the west side of the lake, and a voyage to the eastern side in the evening would be a delightful and refreshing change for the weary Jesus. Furthermore, the eastern side of the lake was much less populated, and that would make it a good place to rest. But you know, as is often the case with Jesus, there's more to the story than meets the eye. He has a divine appointment on the other side of the lake. So they start off on their voyage. The text says they took Jesus with them in the boat, the one he had been teaching from. Mark is the only one who mentions this detail, that there were other little boats with them. People must have gathered around Jesus' boat to be closer to him and to hear his teaching. It reminds me a little bit of our trip to Israel in March of 2023. When our tour group would visit a site, there were always those who were kind of on the fringes taking pictures or looking for a place to sit. I tried not to be obnoxious or pushy, but I tried to get as close to the guide as possible. He was a walking encyclopedia of historical and biblical information, and I wanted to hear and learn all I could. I believe that's probably what it was like to hear Jesus teach, only more so. Now we know that Jesus was exhausted because immediately he fell asleep in the back of the boat on the pillow. The pillow was a cushion where the person steering the boat would usually sit. Jesus must have been exhausted to sleep in such cramped quarters. And he also must have had implicit trust in the men who were sailing the boat. I don't know how it is for you, but I don't sleep in a car if I don't trust the driver. Isn't it comforting to know that Jesus experienced physical exhaustion just like we do? Serving others by meeting their physical and emotional needs is hard work. It drains something out of you. And even though Jesus was God in the flesh, he voluntarily laid aside his divine rights so he could identify with you and me in our weakness. Let's remember that critical fact. And then further, let's consider the anxiety of the disciples. Most of us are like them. It's easy to exercise faith in the little everyday experiences of life. As long as the situation is familiar to us and we're comfortable in the routines, we don't think too much about the need for faith. When you leave your house to drive to the store or to your job, you don't usually think about all the things that could happen to you, do you? And even if you do, you trust that God will bring you safely back home again, as he's done time after time after time before. But what happens when those routines are upset? How do we respond when things begin to spiral out of control? These questions lead us to the anxiety of the disciples. As they sailed across the lake, a great windstorm arose. Luke says it came down on the lake. So in northern Israel, Mount Hermon rises 9,200 feet above sea level, and the Sea of Galilee sits at 700 feet below sea level. When the warm air rising out of the Jordan Valley collides with the colder air that's coming down from Mount Hermon, it can trigger violent storms. So a violent storm came from Mount Hermon into the Jordan Valley and struck the Sea of Galilee with tremendous force. The Greek word translated as windstorm means a hurricane or a whirlwind. The Septuagint, that's the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses this same word in Job chapter 38 and verse 1, where God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, and then again uses it in Jonah 1:4, where God raised a violent storm to confront his wayward prophet. Now remember, most of the men in this boat were seasoned sailors. They knew the unpredictable nature of this lake. They had been through many storms and tempests. They didn't scare easily, but this storm was different. The waves were mountainous, and the water was pouring over the sides of the boat. The disciples bailed as fast as they could, but it was a losing battle. The boat was rapidly filling with water, and they were in imminent danger of being swamped and going to the bottom. Luke says in his account, they were in jeopardy. In all this commotion, activity, and noise, Jesus is sleeping. So the disciples awake him. Mark uses the graphic present tense. They awake him, and in their fear they cried out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That was a rebuke to Jesus. Imagine sleeping through such a storm. You and I have been there, haven't we? We trusted Jesus, and we went with him for a pleasant sail through life, as it were. But then all of a sudden, a storm, seemingly out of nowhere, burst upon us. Maybe a terminal illness, a tragic accident, an untimely death. Maybe a broken relationship or a shattered dream destroyed our calm. We were in danger of sinking in confusion and despair, and Jesus seemed oblivious to our plight. He was nowhere to be found. And we cried out, "Lord, where are you? Don't you care about us?" Let's consider further then the authority of Jesus. Mark's narrative is understated. He wrote, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" Jesus' simple commands were be silent and be muzzled. And you know, I have to wonder, did Jesus even raise the volume of his voice? Regardless, immediately the wind ceased, kopazo. It means to cease through extreme fatigue or being worn out with labor. The sea sank to rest as though it was exhausted from its beating. As suddenly as that storm had burst upon them, just as suddenly, it vanished. That was astounding to the disciples. But I believe what was even more astounding was the immediate, great calm that ensued. The surface of the lake went from an angry boiling pot to a sea of glass. Not a ripple broke the surface. Anyone who knows anything about how storms affect water knows that when the wind dies, the waves can take hours, sometimes even days, to subside. So in some ways, the glassy waters were a greater miracle than the sudden ceasing of the wind. As the disciples continued bailing water out of the boat, I can imagine their thoughts were racing. They were trying to wrap their minds around what they were experiencing. And then Jesus broke the silence. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Can you imagine the disciples processing those questions? Why were we afraid? We were afraid we were about to drown. We were afraid you didn't love or care for us, because if you did, then these kinds of things wouldn't happen to us. Why are you afraid? I'm here with you. Where is your faith in me? Don't you understand that I'm the Lord of nature? You are safe with me anywhere and everywhere. These men had accepted Jesus as the Messiah, as their rabbi, their teacher. But they hadn't yet realized all the ramifications of that truth. How often would Jesus ask you and me these same questions? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And then finally, let's consider the perplexity of the disciples. They were afraid before Jesus calmed the storm, but now the text says they're terrified. Now that the immediate danger was past, I imagine them looking at each other dumbfounded and speaking in hushed voices, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" They knew Jesus had power. They had seen him use it. They had seen him heal the sick, restore sight to the blind, cast out demons, and even raise dead people to life. But this was something else, the power to control nature. Their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures would have convinced them that only God could control the forces of nature. You see, the disciples were growing in their apprehension and comprehension of who Jesus was. Apprehension refers to the act of understanding something in a way that is fearful or anxious. They were terrified. They were overawed by what they had just experienced. This is what happens whenever sinful humanity realizes they are in the presence of the Holy God. And then comprehension refers to the act of understanding something in a way that is clear and complete. Slowly but surely, these men were gaining a better understanding of who Jesus was. He was no ordinary rabbi. His teaching and his lifestyle were completely different than the religious teachers of his day. He cared about the needs of others more than he cared about his own needs, and he entered into other people's pain instead of standing aloof from them. You know, we mustn't be too critical of the disciples, because we have an advantage over them. We have the Holy Spirit living inside us, and yet we still struggle with our fears, don't we? We still wrestle with trusting God in the storms of life. We're perplexed as to why God allows such traumatic experiences in our lives. And so we too are on a journey of apprehending and comprehending who God is. But when we understand how much Jesus loves us, we can remain calm amid the most violent storms. It's interesting to compare this account of the life of Jesus with the account of Jonah. And I'm indebted to the late Pastor Tim Keller for his insights on this text. Both Jesus and Jonah were in a boat. Both boats were overtaken by a violent storm, and both Jonah and Jesus slept through those storms. In both accounts, the sailors said, "We're going to die." And in both cases, there was divine intervention, and the sea miraculously became calm. After the sea became calm, The sailors in both cases were even more afraid, more terrified. So we have two almost identical stories, but with one critical difference. In Jonah's experience, he said, "Throw me overboard. If I die, you will live." So if you recall the story, they picked him up and they threw him into the sea. In Mark's account, that doesn't happen. Or does it? Is Mark implying that the stories aren't that much different? If you'll recall, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42, Jesus tells the crowd, "I'm the real Jonah." This is what he meant. "Someday, I'm going to calm all the storms and still all the waves. I'm going to destroy destruction, break brokenness, and kill death." How can he do that? He can do it only because when he was on the cross, he was thrown, willingly, like Jonah, into the ultimate storm, under the ultimate waves, the waves of sin and death. Jesus was thrown into the only storm that can actually sink us, the storm of eternal justice, of what we owe for our wrongdoing. That storm was not calmed until it had swept him away. If the sight of Jesus bowing his head into that ultimate storm on the cross is burned into the core of your being, you will never say, "God, don't you care?" And if you know that he did not abandon you in that ultimate storm, what makes you think he will abandon you in the much smaller storms you are experiencing right now? Someday, Jesus will come and still all the storms for all eternity. If you and I allow that truth to penetrate to the core of our being, we will be assured of his love. We will be absolutely convinced of his love for us, and we will respond to the storms of life with the calm assurance that his hand is on the tiller of our boat. Is Jesus in your boat? If not, why don't you invite him into it today? You won't be truly safe until Jesus is in your boat.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in
Thank you, Brother J. Mark, for this teaching on Mark chapter 4. I'm so thankful that no matter how mighty the storm, Jesus can always calm it. Thank you again for joining us today on The Voice of Hope. If you would like to listen to this program again, please visit our website, www.heraldsofhope.org, and look for the title, "Is Jesus in Your Boat?" Or you may contact us to get a CD, paper or digital copy. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Our phone number is 866 960 0292. If you prefer to send a letter, our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, P.O. Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. I invite you to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or Spotify by searching for Heralds of Hope. Your prayers are needful, and your financial gifts are always welcome. You can learn more about Heralds of Hope and how we can be your channel to share the Word of God to a place you cannot visit and in a language you do not speak by visiting our website. You can also donate online or by calling toll-free 866-960-0292 or by mailing your gift to The Voice of Hope, P.O. Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and generous financial support, will enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Be sure to join us next time as we continue our study in Mark's Gospel.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so many is
or demons or men or whatever it be.